This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. The atomic bomb. The atomic bomb was used in anger 77 years ago in Japan, twice, August 6th and August 9th, Japan time. At that moment, very little was understood about the long-term effects, the short-term effects of a weapon that exploded above the two cities, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We know a great deal now about the damage to the fetuses, every child under 12. We know a great deal about the long-term damage done by leukemia that shows up 6 or 8 years later. 1945 was ignorant of these matters. They were looking at another world, a world torn apart by aggression in Germany and Japan. Here we are in the 21st century, and we welcome Peter Husey of the Hudson Institute to help us understand now the thinking about the atomic bomb, not to use it in anger, but to prevent angry men who speak irresponsibly of using an atomic bomb against the U.S. I'm looking especially at the Kremlin, of course, Vladimir Putin's remarks early in the Ukraine conflict about something called Satan II, a strategic ballistic missile that can deliver an atomic bomb. But the complication now is driven by war planners in the U.S. How do you prevent a bad actor such as Moscow or Beijing or others from thinking that an atomic bomb is something to be used in a victory parade? How do we go about that dialogue? Peter, a very good evening to you. Admiral Richard, in testifying about the planning for atomic weapons used against the U.S. or our allies, says something deeply ironic, and I ask you to help me interpret this language. Says Admiral Richard, "We've got some better two-party stuff that's actually working quite well in the current crisis that is radically different. Non-linearity, linkages, chaotic behavior, inability to predict, all attributes that just don't show up in classic deterrence theory. But," says the Admiral, "that's a two-party version." Translate, Peter. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you so much, and good evening to Gordon. What Admiral Richard is saying is that when you had just the Soviet Union and the United States and now Russia in the United States, we could kind of figure out over 70 years of the nuclear age the deterrence had worked. No one had used nuclear weapons. What's changed now is not only the entrance of China into this business, but Mr. Putin, before he became president of Russia, developed a policy called Escalate to Win, which is he thought the use of nuclear weapons was viable, that a strategy could be used to put nuclear weapons in the mix and to threaten their use in a very limited way in order to get the United States to stand down, or in colloquial terms, surrender. Unfortunately, the Chinese have also adopted, and what the Admiral is saying, traditional nuclear deterrence during the Cold War was, if you strike me with nuclear weapons, you're going to get back an equal number or more, and we're both going to end up dead. So that was called mutual assured destruction, and that worked. But the problem today is, if we're dealing with a Russia threatening to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine or NATO, and then the Chinese come in, we don't know how our response to Russia will affect China. And then you get these crazy actors like a North Korea, or if Iran, God forbid, gets nuclear weapons, you have then two more kind of wild cards, which you don't know whether they're reckless enough to use nuclear weapons. So our traditional theories, which we've developed over half a century, that have worked in the sense of no one has used nuclear weapons against the United States or against anybody since 1945. We now are in a position where we have bad actors. You call them angry men. You're absolutely right. Who actually have said very explicitly they would use nuclear weapons against the United States or our allies if we prevented them from committing aggression. So, John, it is not a question of their preventing aggression. They want to see nuclear weapons used in service of aggression in terms of carrying out the objectives of angry men. That's a very big difference. And as the Admiral says, we don't have just one peer competitor with nuclear weapons, the Soviets or the Russians. We now have at least two in Russia and China. And that requires rethinking and redeveloping and recreating deterrence.
Gordon, has Xi Jinping said anything cogent about using nuclear weapons at any point in his rise to what appears to be despotism?
No, but Chinese officials, and many of them have talked about this, and Chinese propaganda, obviously authorized by the Politburo Standing Committee, has talked about this. And they have threatened the use of nukes against non-nuclear powers. So, for instance, last July, they threatened to nuke Japan for its expressed support for Taiwan. You know, the list goes on and on of the threats that they have made. And many of these threats against the United States, and we're going back two decades, are unprovoked, John. These are unprovoked threats to kill Americans by the hundreds of millions.
We have a question for Peter Gordon.
Peter, we've talked mostly about strategic arsenals, intercontinental ballistic missiles. When the Russians talk about escalate to win, they're really talking about the use of tactical nukes, smaller nukes against limited numbers of targets on the battlefield itself, not against civilian populations in the city of the adversary. Does the United States have the sufficient number and type of tactical nukes in order to counter Russia?
Well, that's the $60,000 question. And the answer is no, we do not. What Mr. Putin is talking about is exactly cruise missiles, underwater nuclear-armed torpedoes, long-range conventional weapons, and also things that are hypersonic. All that means is speed. And the speed of these things make it difficult to figure out where they're from, and number two, to track them, and number three, to shoot them down. And that's why Admiral Richard also called for a massive increase in our missile defenses, basically proving Ronald Reagan right that these things are desperately needed missile defenses for strategic stability. We don't have the conventional weapon, not the regional weapons that you talk about that Russia has. Russia has at least 2,000. My friend Mark Schneider, who's an expert in this, thinks it's around 5,000. The United States has a couple hundred gravity bombs that are dropped from airplanes that have to fly across Europe and then through, let's say, Russia's air defenses. And that's why Congress has put money in the budget for a Navy cruise missile that would be launched from submarines, that would be nuclear armed, which we used to have, but then we got rid of. And now we desperately need, because the Russians won't know where it is. It can get to a Russian target quite quickly. And we don't have to worry about basing rights, which is a big, big thing when you're talking about putting nuclear weapons anywhere in the world. And so, Gordon, Admiral Richard says that gap, that window of vulnerability, as we used to call it, it is now not ICBMs. It is now theater systems, of which the Russians have thousands.
Peter, back to the complication of three parties.
Yes.
Is there a way to solve this? Stratcom is saying this is difficult. They did solve the original. Mutual assured destruction took a number of years. I don't even think it was settled into the 70s, whether it would work or not. We now have the opportunity to reflect over all these decades, and it did work. Is there comparable thinking going on about a three-party nuclear weapon arsenal, and two of them are bad actors?
Yes, there is beginning to think. Remember, in the first part of the nuclear age, we had Herman Kahn and Minister Schilling and others who were basically, as you said, this was new. We didn't know how it all end up. And right now we are beginning to have this thinking. Again, I give credit to Admiral Richard as the man who said, go help me, develop this. Keith Payne, the president of the National Institute of Public Policy, has put together, I have it on my desk, it's about 300 pages of a collection of essays all on this subject. Brad Roberts of Lawrence Livermore National Lab has put together workshops on this. And my friend Brooke Taylor, who was from Louisiana Tech Research Institute and others there around Global Strike, she's put together workshops, which I participate in, on exactly the subject. So we're basically, Gordon and John, we are now in the process of trying to figure things out. And as the Admiral has said in a speech down in Huntsville a couple of days ago, he said, this is my number one priority in terms of thinking through and putting together a deterrent capability. He said, my number one priority in terms of what I want in technology is missile warning and missile defenses, which for me is great news, because we basically have been spinning, churning our wheels and basically not doing a huge amount on missile defense, though the Israelis have. That's great news, because it so complicates the bad guy's mission and objectives that would be one of the things, Gordon, I would say would be very helpful. because I don't have to blow up a city to deter someone. I can just shoot down what they're aiming at us. That's one thing. Cyber is another. Passive defenses, missile defenses, warning, all these things are critical. We're going to have to work this out. And some of it is just basically, Gordon, we're going to have a hope that wins because we don't have a real context of, oh, we went through a nuclear war and this worked and this didn't work. Our whole point is we don't want to ever see nuclear weapons used. And Gordon's right. The Chinese have serially threatened Japan with nuclear weapons. And then they turn around and said, we've never threatened anybody with nuclear weapons who's not nuclear armed themselves, which is, as Gordon just told you, is total baloney. And they have unprovoked said, well, we can nuke Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles and burn them to the ground. Like, well, where'd that come from? So my worry is that Xi Jinping has adopted Mr. Putin's view of escalate to win because of their view that it would get us to stand down in a crisis.
Peter Husey is the senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.